Welcome back. Still on this interesting topic, understanding the Exodus. You're welcome once again, sir. On Sunday, the 21st of November, 2021, you began a teaching titled The Exodus. And we see it necessary to bring you to the studio so that we can go deeper and have a better understanding, or, you know, a deeper understanding of this interesting topic. So we want to understand the Exodus. So I might ask you questions that I know you've already answered in the sermon, but please, sir, revelation is regressive. you might have something else to tell us.
That's
okay. Right. So, sir, what is an Exodus? How will you define an Exodus relating to us now?
Exodus is a Greek word that is meaning going out, exit.
Okay.
Or departure. Departure. You are somewhere, you are moving out. Moving out, exiting somewhere you have been. It's called Exodus.
Okay. Exiting where we have been. Okay. But let's bring it to the church now, or spiritually. Because we are not yet to learn grammar, Greek or English. How do you define it in a spiritual setting?
You know, this is, if you notice, I just finished a series that I titled The Rapture Pulls.
Yes, sir.
What is it pulling? Pulling God's elect. Fire is coming upon this earth.
Wow.
Illuminate. Tell the world. Tell the world. Tell the world. 2 Peter chapter 3.
Hallelujah.
Verse 8.
2 Peter chapter 3 and from verse 10 says, But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought it to be in all holy conversation and godliness?
And it is called the day of the Lord.
Okay.
Now, after the rapture, Revelation chapter 8.
Yes, sir.
Reading from verse 1.
And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire off the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake.
Now, the first thunder, verse 6.
The first, and the seven angels, which are the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound.
They prepared themselves
to sound.
To sound. The first one, verse 7.
The first angel sounded, and they followed him.
When they sound, this will be physically seen. It is spiritually sounded, but it has a physical effect here on earth. What happens?
And they followed fire, hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up.
Go to verse 8.
And the second angel sounded, and as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood.
Now, and then on and on up to the seventh one. This is what will happen on earth here after the rapture.
Amen.
Peter gave it his own description. Daniel also has his own. John saw his own. And Apostle Paul only said it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God, because God is a consuming fire. Isaiah called it the day of the Lord. The day of God's vengeance.
That's right.
The Bible calls it so. Now, but before this will take place on earth here, the mercy of God is projected.
Hallelujah.
The mercy of God is projected, and a process is going to, we're going to go through a process ordained and under the control of God himself, that we pull his children from the earth and keep us in glory, in paradise. Otherwise, we say heaven, away from the earth. Then the fire will come down.
Mm.
You see why we talk about rapture watch?
Amen.
Because of the effect. Now, the process of harvesting man from earth to glory is the Exodus.
Mm.
Exiting the earth.
Mm.
That is where we looked at it from the angle of the rapture pools, pulling us from earth to glory. The processes are there. Now, to make it clearer again, I decided to look at the angle of the Exodus.
Hallelujah.
Now, take note that man fell and we have been in bondage.
True.
Bondage of the enemy. Satan kept the seed of God in bondage. But God had an agenda.
Amen.
And that agenda is going to come. Look at it. Oh, glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
The instrument that he's going to use will be the seed of the woman.
Amen.
Oh, glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
The instrument that he's going to use is the seed of the woman.
Amen.
If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 24.
1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 24. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of
God. You see, which wisdom? Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Which wisdom? That is the wisdom in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6.
Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught.
That wisdom, Christ is that wisdom.
Amen.
Go ahead.
But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery.
In a mystery.
Even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written,
eye
has not seen, nor yet heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And these things, like the scriptures continue, if you continue to read it, although hidden from man, but revealed to his people.
Hallelujah.
By his spirit.
Amen.
That dwell in us.
Amen.
And among us.
Amen.
Now, this is a mystery, therefore, we need to be explained. Now, people don't know the process of God coming to harvest us from the earth. That process, he is going to use a wisdom. And that wisdom is Christ.
Amen.
Oh, glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
That wisdom is Christ.
Mm.
But this is the way he put it. Immediately man fell, Genesis 3. Verse 15, that prophecy went forth.
Genesis 3:15. And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman.
Who is the thee? The serpent.
Amen.
And the woman.
And between thy seed and her seed.
There will be the serpent's seed and the seed of the woman.
He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel.
And the seed of the woman, this woman, who is this woman? The seed of the woman was not Abel.
Amen.
You see,
The
seed of the woman is not Abel. First, who is the woman? The woman is not Eve. Remember, it is a mystery. So, he is going to start to form that woman.
Hallelujah.
That prophetic woman.
Amen and amen.
The woman has to be in place first. Then she shall have a seed.
Amen.
That she will bring forth.
Mm.
It is that seed he will use. The power of God, the wisdom of God. It is that seed he will use to harvest his own out of the earth. So, see the mystery. We call it the movie
of redemption.
Of redemption. I preach a message entitled The Movie of Redemption. He has a script, and except he reveal it to you, he has the characters he will use, and I am part of the character. I don't know about you. You know, at every junction of time, he has the people he's using. And so a lot of people are just, you know, I give my life to Christ. I've given my life to Christ. And Christ will ask, who do men say I am?
I, the Son of Man.
Okay, you that you're going to church. You that pray in Jesus' name. You that see vision every time. Who do you say I am?
Hallelujah.
You see, Apostle Paul, his own answer is Jesus. You are the wisdom of God
and the power of God. Amen.
But Peter said, thou art Christ, the son of the living God. Both of them are correct.
Mm.
And remember, there's a prophecy that says he will sit upon the seat of his father David. And so, who am I? You are the Messiah. You are the King. You are the Son of God. And all the prophecies, you know, fulfilled. He is the wisdom of God. So first and foremost, that woman is the nation of Israel.
Amen.
There are three symbolic women in the church.
Amen.
And in the Bible.
The Bible.
The woman in Revelation chapter 12, that woman there, the description and everything there is
Israel.
Israel.
Hallelujah.
Then in Revelation chapter 17, mystery, Babylon, mother of harlots. That woman there is the Roman church. Everything proves it. I'm not trying to speak against anyone. We're talking Revelation.
Hallelujah.
And there's nothing, whether we talk about it or not, scripture must be fulfilled.
Amen.
But it's good you know, so that you know who to associate with. You know, I was counseling a woman today, and I had reason to tell her. I said that one good thing that God can do to any human being on earth is to reveal to you who your enemies are. To let you know who hates you. That revelation helps you to know how to associate, the level you associate with such people. And that is what these revelations are supposed to be. When you now know who is that Roman church, scripturally placing them, then you know how you relate with that kind of ministry and the offshoot of such ministries. You don't fight them, you just know the limit to which you relate with them because you know who they are. You know that there's a witch around you. You make sure you keep a lot of things secret. Because if he gets to know, he will enter spirit and scatter it. You don't hate the person. You love the person. But then, that's why Christ said we should be as wise as a serpent. But harmless. We must be harmless.
Amen.
Now, and so, those three symbolic women. Now, the third symbolic woman is Revelation chapter 19.
Hallelujah.
And that is the bride of Jesus Christ. You see her adorned, ready to come and take over the earth.
Amen.
With the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So, if the script is like that, the script begins with the formation of the nation.
Of the woman. Hallelujah.
And so, he picked a man, Grace, found Abraham. And then, Genesis chapter 15.
Amen.
The prophecy went forth.
After these things.
And this is the time when Abraham didn't even have any child. Can you see how interesting it is?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
After these things.
Read just 13 and verse 14.
Okay, verse 13 and 14.
Yes.
Okay. And he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years.
Now, they are a type of the children of God, children of promise, covenant children of God that have entered into bondage from the Garden of Eden. It's a type. Now, verse 14.
And also that nation whom they shall serve.
Now, I want you to note, can't you catch something here? That means God knew that man will fall.
Hallelujah.
when he was creating Adam and Eve, he already knew. It's very interesting, but let's not go too wide. It's very, very exciting.
The movie of redemption.
The movie of redemption. Let get that someone and listen.
Yeah, it's a Rapture Watch episode, sir.
Okay, it's a Rapture Watch episode. Yes, okay. Sir. Yes.
And also that nation whom they shall serve,
yes,
will I judge.
Uh-huh.
And after what shall they come out with great substance?
You see, and will he not, after taking us out of this world, will he not come and judge all the people that are keeping the children of God in bondage on the earth here? So that prophecy, he said they will be in bondage for 400 years.
That's right.
So whatever you saw happening, oh, it's very interesting. You know, Abraham, you see, God takes his time with his agenda. God takes his time. That is why God is not an abracadabra. God does not do abracadabra. God has his plan. He's never in a hurry. He picked Abraham. And after hearing, Abraham thought it would be Ishmael. He says, it's not Ishmael. The promise is in Isaac.
Amen.
And even Isaac stayed for so long without a child. Can you imagine that? Eventually, Isaac had two children. One of them, Jacob. God chose Jacob as he chose Isaac. Among the children of Abraham, he chose Isaac.
Hallelujah.
Among the children of Isaac he chose
Jacob.
Jacob. Why is he choosing him? It is according to his good pleasure.
Amen.
He has his reason for doing, but the reason is not important for us now. Are you moving with him? Then, for it to fulfill, he got that spiritual man called Joseph among the children. He got Jacob. Jacob married
four wives
and had all those 12 sons.
Mm.
And those 12 sons, he had to. I'm saying something that we all know, but sometimes you don't put the puzzle together, you know. Then he got those 12 sons.
Hallelujah.
And then they became the 12 tribes of Israel.
Amen.
And I want you to note that it was always after the man. It is the man. The life, the seed flows through the man. Okay. Now, he now comes, gets among his children, he gets one of them, Joseph, and made him spiritual. God made him spiritual. And when those his brothers were hating him for being spiritual, they didn't know that he was a type of Christ.
Hallelujah.
He was a type. Everything about the story of Joseph, you see Christ there.
Amen.
They sold him to the Midianites, sold him to slave market people, and finally he got to Egypt. Unknown to them, they were pushing him to his destiny. They are pushing him to where the prophecy he gave Abraham in Genesis 15 will be fulfilled. And that is how he became prime minister. Through him, 70 of Jacob's family members moved over to Egypt, where they were taken care of in the time of the famine, which is what he used to bring them there. If not, they will not come. And then the prophecy will come to pass when it was now time for that to fulfill. The taskmasters, the difficulty. Then we come to Exodus chapter 1.
Yes, sir.
Verse 8 to verse 18.
Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when they falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore, they did set over them taxmasters to afflict them with their burdens.
You see, afflict, yes.
And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities. Fight on.
Imagine covenant children of God were in bondage and being afflicted. Go ahead.
But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew.
Oh, yeah.
And they were grieved because of the children of Israel.
So that is where you will now see where Moses saw the bush burning. But the bush was not consumed.
Hallelujah.
It was a type of Israel burning on fire.
Amen.
But they cannot be consumed.
Amen.
All glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
There had no temptation taken him as such as is
common to man. Hallelujah.
God is faithful.
No, allow you to be
he
tempted.
He will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with that temptation make a way of
escape.
That is what the Bible says.
Hallelujah.
The Lord, the Bible, 2 Peter 2:9 says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the righteous out of all temptations. All his problems, all his troubles. And so, you can imagine the condition of Israel at that time. The Pharaoh that knew no Joseph. So, God now decided to ignite the process of the exodus from bondage. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7 to verse 10.
And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt.
He has seen the affliction.
And I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters.
Oh.
For I know their sorrows.
Uh-huh.
And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians.
Uh-huh.
And to bring them up out of that land, unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites.
Uh-huh.
Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh.
You are telling Moses, yes,
that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt.
And chapter 4, verse 20 to 23.
And Moses took his wife and his sons
and
set them upon an ass,
mm-hmm.
and he returned to the land of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And Moses took the rod of God in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord said unto Moses,
yes.
When thou goest to return into Egypt,
uh-huh.
see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh,
mm-hmm.
which I have put in thy hand.
Mm-hmm.
But I will add in his heart,
oh,
that he shall not let the people go.
Uh-huh.
And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn.
Oh, glory be to God.
And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me.
And go to chapter 5, verse 1.
And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus said the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That, we know the rest of the story.
That's right.
Moses, according to that commandment of the Lord, according to that agenda, with all the vindication, with all the power, brought them out
of bondage.
That is the Exodus.
Mm.
And it's a type of the Exodus from earth, out of the bondage, satanic bondage, and more importantly, out of the bondage of this flesh.
Mm.
We're going to go out of this flesh. In a moment, the trickle of an eye will be changed.
Amen.
And then we'll go to meet him there.
Amen.
In the air. That is the first
Exodus. Okay.
I don't know what the question was.
Yeah, my question was, you define an Exodus as going out and exit.
Exactly.
So I said you should bring it to the spiritual setting.
So that's the comparison.
Going out of bondage.
Going out of bondage. And you see the perfect time. You know, in the story of Abraham and his seed after him.
Mm.
And he's speaking of also the church of Jesus Christ that will go to glory. But these things are in a process.
Mm.
Because the process of pulling God's elect, because they are his elect, out of this earth has different
processes.
Processes.
Okay, thank you so very much, sir. That's a very beautiful explanation. Going out. So we'll take a quick break.
Then
we'll be right back after this short break. Stay tuned.